Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Tes Zayin, and we are at the very top line of Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph Toshma. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Avadya ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Elazar Lipa Shalom ben Fega Rachel, Sar Nechama bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel, Yisachar ben Hinda Liba, Malka Miriam bas Esther, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Mordechai Moshe ben Zelig, and Le'ilui Nishmas Frada Blima Bas Moshe. So we're in the middle of a sugya, which is very much a digression from the sugyas of Masechtas Yevamos, and that is the sugya of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Specifically, the Gemara mentioned a machlokes amayiroim, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Rav and Shmuel, whether Beis Shammai, who clearly saw the world very differently than Beis Hillel, does that mean that they also observed their halachos? Or perhaps, although they intellectually believed that Beis Hillel was wrong in many areas of halacha, but at the same time, they understood that Beis Hillel was the majority of Klal Yisrael, and is a principle, Achrei Rabim Lahatos, and based on that, ultimately, when it came to Lemaisa, they followed the Shita of Beis Hillel. The Gemara brought a whole bunch of different rayas. Today's daf is going to mention one final Tashma, and this Tashma is going to resolve this dispute. Zok the Gemara Tashma, Bimei Rab Doisa ben Horkenes, in the times of Rab Doisa ben Horkenes, Hutra Tzaris Habas La'achim. They were matir, a tzaras habas, a tzaras erva, to yibum. Shma mina asu, says the Gemara. You see from here that the school of Shammai didn't only think differently than Beis Hillel, but they actually practiced differently than Beis Hillel, and says the Gemara, Shma mina, this is checkmate, this is an absolute raya. So it's interesting, the sugya began with regards to the machloikis Beis Shammai Beis Hillel related to a tzaras erva. We went around the world discussing different rayas and trying to prove the shayla whether lo yasu kedivrei Beis Hillel or whether asu v'asu. Bottom line is the Gemara returned to where it began, and that is the raya that Beis Shammai actually did kishitasam is from the halacha of tzaras erva, and the raya is from a real life story that happened in the times of a Tana whose name was Rab Doisa ben Horkenes, and it was during his times that Hutra Tzaras Abbas La'achin, that Shitas Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, a Tzaras Erva is an Eishas Achshaloi B'Makam Mitzvah, and the Gemara says if that's the case, Shma Mina, Beis Shammai actually followed Beis Shammai. Zok the Gemara. So we just mentioned that in the times of Rab Doisa ben Horkenes, they were Matir Tzaras Habas La'achim. So the Gemara now is going to elaborate and tell us a story. Goof, he made Rab Doisa ben Horkenes. In the times of Rab Doisa ben Horkenes, they were not the Ratzaras Erva, like Shitas Beit Shammai, not like Shitas Beit Hillel. And this was something that bothered the Chachamim very much, because they felt that Rab Doisa ben Horkenes was a Chacham Gadol. He was a very, very wise person. The Einav Kamu Milavei the Beis Medrash. And his eyes didn't allow him to come to Beis Medrash, meaning his eyesight was waning. And as a result, it was difficult for him to come to Beis Medrash. And they felt that it was for that reason that he was Matir Tzoros Habas La'achim. Amar, so the Chachamim got together and they said, Mi Yelech V'yodiyah. Someone has to come notify Rab Doisa ben Horkenes that a tzaras erva is not mutter, but that a tzaras erva is aser. And the question was, who should go? Amalem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said, Ani Eilech, I'm going to go. V'achar of me, he can't go himself. Who's going to go along with him? Who's going to escort Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I'm going to go. V'achar of me, and who's going to go along with him? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Hochu, they went. Who's they? Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva. V'amdu al Pesach Pesa. And they waited for him at his front door. Nichnasa Shivchasai. In the meantime, Rab Doisim and Horkenes is Shifcha, this woman that worked in her house, saw them. Amrulai, so she went to her master, to Rab Doisim and Horkenes, and said, Rabbi Chachmi Yisrael Ba Netzlecha. I recognize the Chachmi Yisrael, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva, and they've come to see you. Amrulai, so he told her, Yichnesu, tell them they can come. V'nichnesu, they came in. Tafsal Rabbi Yeshua. So immediately Rabbi Doisim and Horkenes saw Rabbi Yeshua, he grabbed him, Vayishivu al Mita Shalzav, and he put him on a Mita Shalzav. He put him on a bed of gold. Amalai. So he told him, Rebbe, That Rebbe, he says, well, could you please ask your other Talmidim to sit down? Amalei Mihu, who are these other Talmidim? Meaning, he recognized Rabbi Yeshua, but he didn't recognize Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he didn't recognize Rabbi Akiva. So he said, who are these other people? So Rabbi Yeshua mentioned Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah first. He said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amar, he said, who's this Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? He's Elazar, the son of Azariah. He said, "V'yeshloi ben la Azariah chavirenu." Azariah, our chaver, has a friend. Karu olav amikra hazeh. When he heard that, yes, in fact, he does, and not just he does, but he has a son that's the great Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So he said, "Nar hoyisi gamzo kanti." When I was young, I knew Azariah. V'gamzo kanti, now I'm older, I know Azariah's son, Rabbi Elazar. And I see that the tzaddik was zoicha to have a son that's like him. Additionally, I haven't seen the child of the tzaddik need lechem. The Marsha says that what he meant by the end of the pasuk v'zarim mevakesh lechem is because we know the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a tremendous oisher. The Gemara talks about the taxes, the ma'isa behemah that he used to give every year, and the numbers were literally bederech haflog. He was one of the wealthiest people of his generation, and apparently says the Marsha this ashiris that he had was very much in large part because of the fact that his father was also a very big Oysher. So he said, Naro Yisi Gamzo Kanti Velo Yisi Tzadik Nezo V'Zayim Mevakesh Lochem. I see Azariah has a son, and I see he's coming in with the Gansa Ashiras. Either way, Tafsoy. So Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanes took Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, V'Shiva Elam Mita Shazav, and he put him also on a bed that was of gold. Amaloi. So Rabbi Shur continued, he said, Rabbi Emel Talmudcha Achav Yeshiv. There's another Talmud of yours that's here. Can you please ask him to sit down? Amaloi Mihu. Who is he? So Rabbi Shur told him, Akiva ben Yosef. It's Akiva ben Yosef. Amaloi. So Yosef ben Hurkanes tells Rabbi Akiva, tell me, Atahu Akiva ben Yosef, Sheshimcha Hoylech Misoifa Oilam Atsoifa, you're the famous Rabbi Akiva that I've heard so much about, whose reputation precedes him and it literally goes from sea to shining sea. So he told him, Shev beni Shev, have a seat, Kamoischo Yirbu bi Yisrael, that halavai, there should be more people like you in Klal Yisrael. Either way, it's Rabbi Yeshua sitting on a mita shel Zav, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, they're sitting as well. They're in the presence of Rabbi Yosef ben Hurkanes. And why they come? Because Bimei Rabbi Yosef ben Hurkanes, who drew Tzaras of Asla Achin, and they felt that Rabbi Yosef ben Hurkanes didn't know that Tzaras of Asla is really Aser, because he was old, and his eyesight was Shvach, and as a result, he stopped coming to Beis Medrash. So they're here to notify him and to tell him that you should know Tzaras Erva is really Aser. But they didn't want to jump right into Tzaras Erva. So they decided they're going to skirt around the issue a little bit. They started discussing this halacha. I'll tell you a nice vart that I heard, something on the parasha, something on the sugya, actually gilu tzaras habas, until somehow they were able to angle the conversation to where they were talking about tzaras habas. Amrulei, so they told Rabbi Yosef ben Hurkanes, tell me, tzaras habas mau, what's the halacha related to a tzaras habas? Amrulei told him, machleiks b'shaim b'sil. He says, what do you mean? Everyone knows. It's machleiks b'shaim b'sil. B'sil says tzaras habas is aser, b'shaim b'sil, tzaras habas is mutter. So he said, halacha k'divrei mi, who do we paskin like? Amrulei told him, halacha k'b'sil. The halacha is like b'sil. Amrulei, they said, really? You just said that? You hold the halacha is like b'sil? V'alei mishimcha amru. I've heard in your name that halacha kibei shamay, that halacha is like bei shamay. He told them, tell me, doisa shamat, when you heard in my name that halacha is like bei shamay, you heard someone say Rab doisa holds that the halacha is like bei shamay, or maybe ben Hurkanes shamat them. Maybe you heard that the son of Hurkanes said that the halacha is like bei shamay. What did he mean to tell him? Amrulei, he told him, Chaye Rebbe, Stam, so they told him, Stam Shamanu, we heard Ben Hurkanes. Amrulei, he says, I'm going to tell you, Pshat, Ach Katan Yeshli, I have a younger brother, Bechar Satan, who? He's a Bechar Satan, which means he's a very, very wise, wise person. The Yoinasin Shammai, his name is Yoinasin, Vahumi Talmidei Shammai, and he's from the Talmidim of Shammai, and he's the one that said that Saras Erev was Mota. I never said it. I hold like Beisilo. It's my younger brother who Hatzich Tzige Chepet to the school of Shammai, and he's the one that said that Saras Erev was Mota, but it's not me. You didn't hear me. You heard Ben Hurkanes. You thought it was me. It's my brother. He's also Ben Hurkanes. And he's the one that you heard it from. But he said, but listen, if you want to talk to him and learning, that's fine. But do it at your own risk. Because I'm letting you know right now, he's a tremendous lamdin. He's a big oikaharim, like you saw in Daf Yudalid, that in general, the Talmidim of Shammai, they were on a different level than the Talmidim of Hillel. And he says, I'm telling you, he has 300 rayas that Saras Erva is really mutter. Stating
seeing that, so Rabbi Yitzchak Merukhan said, so you're probably wondering, if my brother has 300 rayas, and he said, trust me, you're not going to win an argument with him. So why do I hold like Beisil that Tzara Zerva's mutter? L'chur I shouldn't hold it's also. Avu Meidan Yolai, Shemayim Varetz. He says, because Shemayim Varetz can testify on my behalf, Sham Meducha Zu Yoshev Chagai Anavi. That Chagai Anavi sat on this Meducha. He literally pointed to a place where Chagai Anavi sat for Amr, and he said, Shloish Shedvarim. He said three things. Number one, Tzara Zabas Asura, but Tzara Zerva's Asur. Number two, Amenu Moyev Masur Maisa Ani Beshvias, that the lands of Amenu Moyev, even though they're technically part of Eretz Yisrael, but you have to be Mafresh Maiser Ani during Shemitah. We'll see what that means later. Umekabel Geirim min haKarduyim umin haTamudim, and we can be Mekabel Geirim converts from the Karduyim and the Tamudim, and we'll see what that is as well. But either way, says the Gemara, Nichnasu bePesach Echad, when the three Tanoim, Rabbi Yeshua, Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva entered the house of Rabbi Yosef ben Urkanis, so they entered through one door, right? They were waiting outside. The Shefcha saw them. She went and she told Rabbi Yosef ben Urkanis that the Chachmi Yisrael are here, Yikonsu, Venichnasu. They all came through one door. When they left, they left in three different doors, and there's different opinions why. One pshat is because they were trying to meet Rabbi Yonasan ben Hurkanis. They wanted to meet this younger brother of Yosef ben Hurkanis. They wanted to hear the 300 tshuvas. They wanted to hear what he had to say. Meaning he has all this different lumdis in terms of why Tzara Serva's mutter. Right, when we think of the lumdis of the suya of Tzara Serva, we think of Rabbi Kiveger's kasha. So this is Rabbi Yonasan ben Hurkanis, who has 300 kashas in the suya of Tzara Serva. And they dafka wanted to meet him, so they felt like this, they'll hedge themselves. They'll spread out, they'll diversify. You go this way, I'll go that way, you go this way. Like this, between the three of us, we're going to bump into him, says the Gemara, Paga by Rabbi Akiva. So which one of the three tzaddikim met Rabbi Yonasan ben Hurkanis? It was Rabbi Akiva, and he met him. Akshile va'ukme. So they started handling and learning. They started discussing the sugi of Tzaras Erva, and at the end of the day, Rabbi Yonasan ben Hurkanis won. Rabbi Akiva could not beat Rabbi Yonasan ben Hurkanis in the argument. Amaloi. So Rabbi Yonasan ben Hurkanis says, tell me, atu Akiva shishim cha'ilech misoifai l'matzoifai? You're the famous Rabbi, it's exactly what his brother said. Right, you're the famous Rabbi Akiva, whose reputation goes misoifai l'matzoifai? So Rabbi Akiva nodded. He said, ashrecha shezochiso l'shem. He says, you're very fortunate that you were zoicha to have a good reputation. But then tzukumtza l'maisa, now that I've had the opportunity to talk to you and learning and have a cup of coffee with you, adayin lo higata l'roi boker. Since I must say that to me, you don't even come to a pastor. You don't even come to a shepherd. Amaloi. So Rabbi Akiva, Migoidel Anvesanusa, he says, a Roye Boker I don't come to. He said, Afilu L'Roye Tzayin. He says, I don't even come to a Roye Tzayin. This concludes the story. We will very much return to this Gemara in the raid, but for now, we have a daf to learn. Zok the Gemara Vaita. Amenu Moyev Ma'asrim Ma'isa Oni B'Shvis. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef ben Hurkanis said, I have a younger brother, Yonasan ben Hurkanis. He's a tremendous lamb, and he has 300 rayas that Tzara's Erva's Mutter like Bishama. Stating that, I hold like Bishilo, that Tzara's Erva's also. Why? He said, because I heard it in the name of Chagai Hanavi, because Chagai Hanavi sat al Meducha Zu, and he said three things. He said, Tzara's Erva's also like Basil. He also said that Amoin Umayov Ma'asrin Meiser Oni Beshvius. And finally, he said, Umikablin Gerim Min HaKarduin Umin HaTarmudim. So the first, Amoin Umayov Ma'asrin Meiser Oni Beshvius. What does this mean? And why is it even a Chiddush? The reason it's a Chiddush is because Amoin Umayov was part of Eretz Yisrael. When the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu Yeshua Ben Nun, they conquered Amoin Umayov. And as a result, Amenu Moyev, even though it was Me'ever Ayardim, but it was part and parcel of Eretz Yisrael. So if it's part of Eretz Yisrael, that means Shvius is Noyeg in Amenu Moyev. If Shvius is Noyeg, there's no Chiyav Chumas or Maestris during Shvius. Right, the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year. Oh, but the seventh year Shemitah, everything is Hefker. And if it's Hefker, it's Pasha, there's no Chiyav Maestris. So this concept that Amenu Moyev should be Chayev and Maestris only in Shvius is naturally a very big Chiddush. The Gemara says, what's the Pshat? The Gemara says the Pshat. There were many lands, many cities that the Yidden, when they were going into Eretz Yisrael for the first time, the Oile Mitzrayim, they conquered. But the Oile Bavel did not conquer. Okay. Any land that was conquered by the Oile Mitzrayim that was not conquered by the Oile Bavel does not have Kedusha. Because Kedusha Rishayna was bottled when Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzrad and Sarat HaBochim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the case, Amon Umayyav was two of those lands. It was included in the lands that were conquered by the Oile Mitzrayim. They weren't conquered by the Oile Bavel. And because they weren't conquered by the Oile Bavel, so therefore, in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, they actually did not have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And the reason they didn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was Vehinichon, who was done B'dafka. Dafka. Meaning, if the Oilei Bava wanted to conquer Amun Umayyad, they could have very easily done it. Wouldn't have been a big deal. The reason they didn't do it was because they knew that the Aniyim were going to need a place to be able to get Maisroni on Shemitah. So listen to what they did. It's a tremendous chiddush in the world of Maisras. What they did was they said, Amun Umayyad, we're not going to conquer it. Because we're not conquering it, so it's not going to have Kedusha Shnia. It has Kedusha Rishon, you know, Kedusha Rishon in the Kitchel, Shaitav, like Kitchel, also love it. As a result, there's not going to be any laws of Shvias. Now, if there's no laws of Shvias, there should also be no laws of Trumas and Maisras. Here's the kicker. They said, but Trumas and Maisras, you are going to be Chayiv. What do you mean? I thought the land was never conquered. Midrabbanan, you're going to be Chayiv in Trumas and Maisras. But not just that. Because you don't have Shvias, and you do have Trumas and Maisras, you're going to have Trumas and Maisras even in the seventh year. And you'll be Chayiv and Maisr Ani during the seventh year. Why was it done? Mipnei Takanas Aniyim. It was done partially for the Aniyim, because otherwise, the Aniyim would have issues, they'd struggle mightily during Shvias. So just to give them another source of income, they said, you could go to Amun Umayyad. Over there, Yidden are going to be working the fields. They're going to be Chayiv and Maiserani. They're not going to have the laws of Shvias. It's going to end up benefiting the Aniyim, right? Maiserani is 10% of your gross income. It's a lot of money. So as a result, like this, you can go there, you'll be able to collect. And that's what this was all about. Zok to Gemara. The third thing that Chagai HaNavi said was, U'mekablin geirim min ha-karduyin u'min ha-tarmudim. So apparently, these were two kehilos where non-Jews lived, where there would have been a havamina, ben benoish shel havamina, that maybe you can't be mekabel gerim from these places. Kamash Malon Chagai HaNavi said, mekablin gerim min akarduim u'min ha-tarmudim. Says the Gemara, that's true, ain't he? But Tani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Rami Bar Yecheskel taught a braisa, ain't mekablin gerim min akarduim. He said before, you can't be mekablin gerim min akarduim. So here we have mekablin gerim min akarduim, and here we have ain't mekablin gerim min akarduim. So the Gemara says, I'm Ravashi, Ravashi said, kartuim itmar. No, mekablin gerim min akarduim. Ain mekablin gerim min akartuim. So you can't confuse karduim with a dalid and kartuim with a tough. With a dalid, mekablin gerim. With a tough is ain mekablin. So the Gemara says, in fact, the Amri Inchi, there is a saying that people say kartuim psulim. The people of that are members of this place, kartuim, are psulim, and because they're psulim, it's for that reason you can't be mekabel gerim. We'll explain in 1 second. Ikadamri, some had a different nusach, a different version of this. That Tommy, Rami Bar Yecheskel, a mekabel gerim and not kartuim. Rami Bar Yecheskel said you can't be mekabel gerim and not kartuim. My love, hainu kartuim, is kartuim and kartuim the same place? I'm Ravashi loy, kartuye lechuv and kartuim lechuv. Kartuye is one place, kartuye is another place, ain mekabel gerim and not kartuim. However, mekablin gerim mena karduim, k'dam rinchi, like people say, karduye psili. The people in karduye were apostle, they weren't okay, and it's for that reason we're not mekablin gerim from this. So what's this all about? What does it mean the people of karduye were psulim, and as a result we can't be mekablin gerim? And just to back up for a second, in the Torah already, there are certain nations that were not allowed to convert into Judaism. Amun Umayyad, you have a Mitzri, an Adoimi, right, depending on what generation. But there is a concept of there being people that are not allowed to enter Bekal Hashem. That's a din d'oraisa. That's psukim in the Torah. There's lavin and essen associated with all those azaras. This is something else. This is something that the Rabbanon said, that we're not going to be mekabel gerim from this particular community, from that zip code. The question is, why not? So the Gemara said, because they were psulim. They were apostle. What does that mean? What it means is that even though these people seem to have been non-Jews, but at the same time, within the group of non-Jews, within that population, there were a lot of Jews, but Jews that were mamzerim. And the rest of the story is, we'll see really on the base, but just pasha to understand, before we go weiter, it's because there were a lot of people from that kehila that had been boil b'nois Yisrael. And they had children from those b'nois Yisrael. Now there's a big machloikis in Shas. Eved v'kuti habal bas Yisrael. When the father of a child is a non-Jew and the mother of the child is a Jew, what's the halacha with the child? Is the child kosher? Is the child pasul? So everybody knows the child is a Yid. That's because we paskin like that. But on the Talmudic level, on a Gemara level, it's really a big shayla. And so that man that holds that avlad mamzer, the child's going to be a mamzer. The chachamim in our Gemara were of the opinion that eved v'kuti habal bas Yisrael avlad mamzer. These kartuim were gefelicha mentioned, and they were ma'anis b'nois Yisrael, and through the b'nois Yisrael, they ended up fathering children. Those children ended up settling together with the kartuim, and as a result, these children were mamzerim. So you think that someone that is a non-Jew, quote unquote, from this land, is a non-Jew. So let's just be mekabel geirim. From a conversion perspective, what's the big deal? The teretz is that it's a huge deal because you could be mekabel geir. Of course, there's a parish of geiris. The sugis of geiris, by the way, are mesachtes yivamis and perak achayilitz geshmak and gemaras coming up. But in terms of a mamzer, you can't be mekabel a mamzer is a pasul, and there's no geiris that could be metayer mamzeris. And it's for that reason the chachamim held that a mekabel geirim and a kartuim. It just seems there was some confusion because it was a place that was known as the Karduim, and then there was the place where the Kartuim lived, and there was a stira, because we know Faker, you are Mekabel from the Karduim. The Gemara says, yeah, Karduim, yeah? Kartuim is where the problem is. Okay, Gemara, more on this note. Rabbi Yochanan the Savio. Rabbi Yochanan and Savio. Savio is the name of a person. Dami Chabay, they both said, Ein Mekabel Gerim and not Tarmudim. That we're not Mekabel Gerim from the Tarmudim. So remember, Chagai said, Mekabel Gerim and not Karduim, and Mekabun Geirim Minat Tarmudim. We had a problem. You are Mekabel from Karduim? I thought we're not Mekabel from Kartuim. Where it says, yeah, Karduim, yeah. Kartuim, not. Okay, now we're up to the next shtetl. Mekabun Geirim Minat Tarmudim. Oh, but Rabbi Yochanan and Savio both said, ain't Mekabun Geirim Minat Tarmudim. Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi, is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan said, we're not Mekabel Geirim from Tarmudim? Fatanan, we learned in a Mishnah, and this Mishnah is a Mesechtis Nida. Kolak Samim Habam, and I reckon Tarim. All Samim that come from Rekem are considered to be tahar. For Rabbi Yehuda Matama, Rabbi Yehuda says they're tameh, mipnei sheheim geirim, v'toyim. The reason is because the people that lived in Rekem were geirim, that were toyim, meaning they didn't follow the Yiddish aveg, and it's for that reason that the ksamim are really going to be tameh. Mipeno oiv de kichavim toyim. However, a kesem that comes from an oiv de kichavim, sandir the halach is, for sure is going to be tahar. So what does this mean? So we're discussing dam nida. Now, when we talk about dam nida, there's dam nida day raisa, and there's dam nida day rabbana. Dam nida day raisa is when a woman is roya dam nida, but it comes al yidei hargosha. Right? This is nida 101. Dam nida day rabbana is when a woman finds blood, she finds a stain, a kesem, that because she didn't have hargosha at the time that the dam left her gof, so that dam nida is only a dam nida day rabbana. It's not considered a dam nida day raisa. The halacha is that the chachamim were geyser that a non-Jew should have dam nida. The reason it's only Xeris Chazal is because Midei Raisa, really, a non-Jew, doesn't have Dam Nida. However, the Chamu goes that they should have Dam Nida, but only Dam Nida Dei Raisa, as opposed to Dam Nida Dei Rabbana. So if the Dam Nida was a Kesem, it's going to be okay. So that's what the Mishnah is saying, that a Kesem that comes from Rekem is Tar. And the reason is because we assume there are any Yehudim. If there are any Yehudim, there's no Xeris Ksavim, and as a result, you have nothing to worry about. Rabbi Yehuda Metame. Rabbi Yehuda said they weren't any Yehudim. They were Yehudim that just behaved like any Yehudim. And as a result, there is Xeres Ksamim, they're going to be Tame. However, that's clear. Everyone agrees that if the Kesem came from a place where only Oivde Kechavim live, so any zip code where you know who lives there, it's Oivde Kechavim Tohir. So the Gemara says, it sounds like any place that Oivde Kechavim live, if a Kesem comes from there, the Kesem is going to be Tar. And it's going to be true even from Tarmud. Okay, from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "So you say Meres Mekabel Geirim Tarmud." You see that the people that are living in Tarmud were Ksherim and were non-Jews, and because they were non-Jews, that's why the Ksamim were Tahar. And Lamay Nafkamina, a much bigger Nafkamina, if someone from Tarmud wants to convert, we would accept him. Meaning, what was the other side? It seems that Tarmud was a controversial place, and there were people that thought that really the people living there were Jews. They just weren't behaving properly, and maybe they were psulim, and as a result, they were mamzerim, which would mean that we shouldn't be mekabel geirim. Rabbi Yochanan said that you see that they're ksamim atahirim. If they're ksamim atahirim, that means they're non-Jews. If they're non-Jews, that means they're also not mamzerim. If they're not mamzerim, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to be mekabel geirim from them. But what do you see from here? What did Rabbi Yochanan say? Zoysay Meres, quote, Mekablin Geirim Mitarmud. He proved it from the Mishnah. From the fact that the Mishnah says every single place where non-Jews live, the Ksamim are going to be Tar, even Tarmud. That's it, right. The people in Tarmud are non-Jews. Good. So you see that Mekablin Geirim Mitarmud. I, Rabbi Yochanan and Savio both said, hey, Mekablin Geirim Mitarmudim. It's a Schwarzen Weistira. Rabbi Yochanan, the Savio Dami Travayu, ain't Mekablin Geirim and Atarmudim. And here we have Rabbi Yochanan said, Zoysay Meres from the Mishnah, Mekablin Geirim Mitarmud. So ain't Mekablin Geirim Mitarmud, or Mekablin Geirim Mitarmud. So Mar Sabachit, Tame Zoys Filoy Svirulay. Maybe you'll tell me that La'oilam, Rabbi Yochanan holds ain't Mekablin Geirim and Atarmudim. And that's why he and Savio both paskin that way. So what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said, Zoysay Meres, Mekablin Geirim Mitarmud? He wasn't saying what he believes. He wasn't expressing his own shita. He wasn't paskining. He was learning a Mishnah. And he said, you want to know what you see in this Mishnah? You see in the Mishnah, Mekabim Gerim Mitamrut. No one says he holds that way. Mar says it can't be that way. Because from Rabbi Yochanan, we know Rabbi Yochanan has a cloud throughout Shas, Halacha Kistam Mishnah, that Halacha is always like a Kistam Mishnah. So if Rabbi Yochanan said, Zoyse Meres from the Stam Mishnah that Mekablin Gerim Mitarmud, that means Rabbi Yochanan must hold Mekablin Gerim Mitarmud, because he holds Halacha Mistam Mishnah, which is a steer to the fact Rabbi Yochanan and Savi both said, Ain't Mekablin Gerim Mitarmud, that's the Kasha, and for the Gemara, you have no choice, you have to say, Amiroi Ninu Valibit Rabbi Yochanan, that really there's a Machoikis Amirom going on over here, what exactly Rabbi Yochanan Shita was. Meaning one Amira held Rabbi Yochanan holds Ain't Mekablin Gerim Mitarmudim, and there's another Amira that held that Rabbi Yochanan holds Halacha Kistam Mishnah, which means that whether or not Rabbi Yochanan holds Halacha Stam Mishnah is really a machlokes amiram, which by the way the Gemara mentions in many places, that whether or not Rabbi Yochanan in fact holds halachic Stam Mishnah was something that was very debatable. Not everybody believed that. Meaning there is Rabbi Yochanan Shas that holds halachic Stam Mishnah. However, not everyone agrees that that was Rabbi Yochanan Shita. So that's the way we're going to have to answer this theory. The Gemara uses this teretz to get out of situations in different places. This is one of the places that the Gemara uses. It's Okta Gemara. Mitarmud my time alone. Why is it that Ein Mekablin Gerin Menat Tarmudim? So we spoke about why ain mekablin gerim menat kartuim. So now we're trying to understand why ain mekablin gerim menat tarmudim. And who said ain mekablin gerim menat tarmudim? It was Rabbi Yochanan and Savya. So the Gemara, keeping those names in mind, Rabbi Yochanan and Savya. It was a machloik pligi baruch mesavya. It was a machloik Rabbi Yochanan and Savya. Why ain mekablin gerim menat tarmudim? So Rabbi Yochanan and Savya are the ones that said on Amud Aleph ain mekablin gerim menat tarmudim, and on Amud Beis they're arguing, but amongst themselves, why a mekablin gerim and atamudim? Chadama once said mishum avdei shloima. It was related to something that the slaves of shloima melech did. The Chadama, the other one said mishum bnei Yerushalayim. It's related to the bnei Yerushalayim. So the Gemara explains. Bishlam the mandam mishum avdei shloima. Bishlam the mandam says avdei shloima. I understand what it must mean. Probably what it means is that the avdei shloima went and they were ma'anis noshim from this area, and as a result, the avdei shloima were non-Jews. The Noshim were Jews, and Kosovar Ovikichavim the Eved, a non-Jew, Habal Bas Yisrael, Havlad Mamzer. So amongst the Tamudim, they were Mamzerim. So you could be Makabel Geirim if they're non-Jews, but if they're Yisraelim Mamzerim that just look like non-Jews, well, then you can't be Makabel Geirim. So that must be what Avdei Shloima means. Meaning, Avdei Shloima did this Avera, they fathered these children, and as a result, Mamzerim were brought, and that's what the issue is. Elamandam b'shem b'nois Yerushalayim mahi. But the mandam that says it was b'nois Yerushalayim, what's the rest of the story? Pligi bar Rav Yosef Rabbanan. So we have a machlokes Rav Yosef Rabbanan. Mishmei de Rabbi Rabchan, and they both said their sheet in the name of Rabbi Rabchan. Chadam one said, Treisa Alfei Gavri, there were 12,000 men, Veshisa Alfei Kashtuye, and 6,000 archers, 18,000 people in total. Chadam the other one said, Treisa Alfei Gavri, there were 12,000 men, Uminayu Shisa Alfei Kashtuye, amongst them there were 6,000 archers, meaning 12,000 in total, which, okay, what about these people? But when the Yidden entered the Heichel to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, everybody was busy trying to get money. But they went after the Bnei Yerushalayim. As the Pasuk says, they went after the Bnei Yerushalayim. They were Ma'ana and Ma'anis, the Bnei Yerushalayim. They had children. Those children ended up in Talmud. Those children were raised like non-Jews, but really they were Yidden, they were Yisraelim Mamzerim. Because again, our whole Gemara is of the opinion that Eved Vekuti Abba Abbas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer, and that's why Ein Mekablin Gerim Atamudim. So really, Ein Mekablin Gerim Atamudim because they were Yisraelim Mamzerim. That came about because of an Eved Vekuti Abba Abbas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. The question just is specifically what happened. Was it the Avdei Shloimai, or was it some of the Yidden that had destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Noshim B'tziyon Inu B'sulois Ba'ari Yehuda? But either way, at the end of the day, the punchline is the same. A little more Gemara. Amar Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan. Pasuk says Sar Ha'olam. The following pasuk was said by the Sar Ha'olam. So who is the Sar Ha'olam? Rashi says a Malach. What's the pasuk? Nar Ha'yisi Gamzo Kanti V'loy Ro'isi Tzadik Neza V'zarim Mevakesh Lachem. So the Gemara says, man, Amri, who said this? Elim Kodesh Baruch Hu. Are you going to say the Ebishter said a Mi'ik Ziknan Kameh? What Hashem said? Nar Ha'yisi Gamzo Kanti. What Hashem has Zikna, and you could say Hashem is a nar? What does that mean? Hashem's not young, Hashem's not old. So it can't be the Abish that said it. Elo David Amre. Maybe David Amalek's the one that said it. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. So if it's a pasuk in Tehillim, it makes sense David would have said it. Oh, but me, Kashish Kulehai, David Amalek never got that old. right? David HaMelech passed away when he was 70. So Naro Yisi Gamzo Kanti, he was never that old. Elish Mami no Saro Oilam Amra. Must be it was the Saro Oilam. Interesting Gemara. Vamra Shumar Nachmeni Amra B'Yoinis. I just was pshan in the pasuk that says Yodei Paras Tzar Al Kol Machmadeha. This is also a pasuk in Eicha. Says the Gemara. So Amenu Moi, it's referring to Amenu Moi. B'Shoshen Nichnas Oivdi Chom on the Heichol. When the Oivdi Chom entered the Heichol, Hakol Nifnu Al Kesef Zab. Everybody was going for Kesef Zab. Besides for the 12,000 or the 18,000 people that we mentioned earlier that went to the Bnei Yisrael. Oh, but the Heim, Amenu Moi, they didn't go for Kesef and Zav. They went Heim Nifnu Al Sefer Torah. They were looking for a Sefer Torah. On where they opened up the Sefer Torah. And they said, Zesha Kosef Boi, La Yavoi Amoini Umayavi Bekal Hashem Yisarev Boesh. This Sefer Torah, that it says that we, this is Amenu Moi talking, we're not worthy of intermarrying and even converting. You won't accept our conversion, Yisarev Baish. That's what they did. Tziva Hashem liYaakov, Svivav Tzarev. Snuck the Gemara, what does this mean? Read the words. Tziva Hashem liYaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzava, that Svivav Tzarev. That the Yidden would always be surrounded by people that caused them Tzarev. Amar Rav, Rav said, I'll give you an example. Kengoin Humanya Lefum Nahara. So Lefum Nahara was a place that the Yidden lived, and they were surrounded by Humanya. Rashi says, Yevonim. They were Yevonim, they were Greeks, they were Macedonians. But either way, Tziva Hashem liYaakov, Svivav Tzarev, very scary pasuk. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzava, literally, it's Mechukei HaTeva. That this is the way it is. That the Jews are always surrounded by people that want to give them tzaris. It's a Gemara. And we will stop here. So as it relates to today's daf, and really, we're shtickle bal chayv for the entire sugya of Bishamei and Bishil, so we left enough time to get into it a little bit. And that is, we just learned a sugya, a 3.5 blot sugya, that discusses Bishamei and Bishil. Specifically, the topic is whether Beis Shammai, who throughout Shas argued with Beis Hillel in Halacha, does that mean that they actually practice Kishitasam, Asu V'Asu, like their own Shita? Or perhaps they acknowledge that Halacha was like Beis Hillel, based on the fact that Beis Hillel was the Roiv, and there is a concept of Achri Rabim Lahatos. And it was for that reason that at the end of the day, even though they saw the world so differently than Beis Hillel did, but at the same time, when it came to Maisa, they actually followed the Shita of Beis Shammai. So it was a discussion of the Shita of Beis Hillel. So it was a discussion in the Gemara. And the Gemara came out, the very, very top line of today's daf, that Bimei Rab Doisa ben Hurkinis Hutru Tzaris Habas La'achin. And if that's the case, Shma Mino Asu Shma Mino. You see from here that they actually followed their own Shita and they actually did what they said they did. Now, if you think about it for a second, just meditate on this. It's a davar nifla, because you learn through Gemara, Daf Yomi. Throughout Shas, we encounter different machloikas in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai said right, Beis Hillel said left. Beis Shammai said this, Beis Hillel said that. They so often disagree. And they weren't just disagreeing on Dvarim Shal Mabekach, but they were disagreeing on Dvarim Ha'omdim Berumai Shalayla. The Gemara gave a whole list of examples in the sugya about Inyanei Ishus, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued. Meaning, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel literally argued, is this woman married or is she not married? If she has a child right now, is the child going to be a mamzer or is the child going to be a kosher? You can see what the implications are going to be. Throughout Masechet Shabbos, you have machloikis in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So, according to Beis Shammai, you're Mechal Shabbos if you do this. According to Beis Hillel, it's Mutter. This is something that you're allowed to do. In the world of Tumah V'Tahira, you have all the different machloikis in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. In other words, Lefia Maskonas HaGemara here, Masechet Yevamos, that Beis Shammai was Asu Ka'asu, like Rabbi Yochanan Shita, like Shmuel Shita, they actually followed their own opinion. That means that if somebody would spend a Shabbos in the world of Beis Shammai, coming from Beis Hillel, he would think he just walked into another religion. It was literally a completely, completely different world. So here you have Klal Yisrael that's divided into two camps. You're either Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. There's no other, right? So you're either Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. And literally, if you're Beis Shammai, you conduct yourself one way. And if you're part of Beis Hillel, you conduct yourself another way. You could understand why this was a big deal. We could appreciate why it was very, very important that on some level this be reconciled. We already mentioned the Lashon of the Mesilas Yesharim, but it's kedai to mention it again, just for effect. Says the Ramchal in the end of Perek Chaf, in Perek Mishkal HaChasidus, he says, Inyan machloikis b'shamim b'sul hoye inyan kovid l'Yisrael. The machloikis b'shamim b'sul was an inyan kovid l'Yisrael. It was a very challenging, difficult time. B'pnei machloikis ha'gdoy l'sharaf sebedeh, because of the great machloikis that was raging between them. V'soif soif nigra, and eventually it was resolved, sh'alocha ki b'sul l'oylam, that halacha will always be like b'sul. Kine, says the Ramchal, kiyuma shal Torah. In order for the Torah to exist, we have to accept chekmar din ze yishar b'chol Torah. It should never be weakened. So make sure that the Torah doesn't become two Torahs. Because until this situation was resolved, there was a chashash, there was a concern that the Torah would eventually become two Torahs. So finally it was resolved, and this was the most important thing. It's kiyuma shel Torah, says the Ramchal. And you can understand why. Because it's literally two different worlds. So how was it resolved? How was the machloikis between Bishami and Bisol resolved? So we know the answer. We've spoken about this so many times. It's a Gemara. In the Sechtes Erev in Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Amr Rababa, Amr Shmuel. Rababa said in the name of Shmuel, Shalei Shonim Nechluku Bishami Bisol. There were 3 years that Bishami Bisol argued. Halalu Oimrim Halacha Kimayseinu. Bishamai said halachas like us. Falolu Oimrim Halacha Kimayseinu. Bisol said halachas like us. Yotz Abask of Amra. Finally, a Baskel came out and said, Eilu ve'elu divrili kim chayim heim. Everybody's right. Says the Gemara, if it's Eilu ve'elu divrili kim chayim, why was Bisul zoicha that halachas kemoisam? And the Gemara said it had less to do with their intellectual abilities. It had more to do with their midas. It had more to do with their ben adam lechaveroi. Ve'ein kamakayim laharech. So how is this dispute resolved? It's a Gemara Masechta Zeiravin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So here's the question, and this is going to be the topic of the raid. And that is, when did this baskel take place? When was it that the Chachamim was sitting around, and all of a sudden, they look at each other, do you hear something? Right, there's a baskel. There's a heavenly voice that says, Eilu ve'elu divreli kim chayimein v'halocha kibesu. When exactly, historically, did it take place? So this is something that the Olam discussed over the years many times, but I found a mitzia. I found a maramakim nifla. It's in a sefer called Yesoid HaMishnah V'Arichasa, and the mechaber of the sefer is Hagoyen, the great Sinai, Rab Ruven Margolis. So Rab Ruven Margolis, in a sefer Yesoid HaMishnah V'Arichasa, he asks this question. He wonders out loud, when was it that this baskel took place? And Kedarke Bakoidesh, he brings raya after raya after raya to what he believes, his theory, of when exactly this baskel happened. And he says, once you understand this, it's going to open up a lot of gemaras, a lot of chidoy stumos that we find throughout Shas. Of course, like with every piece of Rav Reuven Margolis, we'll just speak out a few highlights, posh it because it's impossible to go through all the different rayas that he says. The emes is, this Gemara Masechta Zeiravin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis that says that the baskel was that the machlokes b'shamim b'sul was resolved with the baskel is mentioned in Yerushalmi also. It's mentioned twice. Once in Masechta Brachis, twice in Masechta Yevamos. Right here, at the end of the first parak of Masechta Yevamos, the Yerushalmi says what the Gemara says in Zeiravin Yud Gimel, that the way the machlokes b'shamim b'sul was resolved was with the baskel. But the Yerushalmi adds one word, a very important clue. The Yerushalmi says that the baskel happened when the Yidden were in Yavna. That the Yidden were in Yavna, and when the Yidden were in Yavna, they heard the baskel. So what was the significance of Yavna? So everyone knows that when the Beis HaMikdash was in the process of being destroyed, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the leader of the Jewish people at the time, he was the Nasi, this is Bayis Sheni, so he was smuggled out of Eretz Yisrael. He had a nephew that had an inn, and he was able to get him through customs, and he had an audience with the Kesar of Roimi. So imagine, he's literally in Rome during a war at the time that the Beis HaMikdash is on the verge, on the brink of being destroyed, and he has the opportunity to sit in front of the Kesar of Roimi. He impresses, the Gemara says, the Kesar of Roimi tremendously, to the point that the Kesar of Roimi says, Rabbi Yechim and Zake, I'm so nispal from you, I'll tell you what, grant, ask three things, and I'll give it to you. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechim Azak, I thought, and he said, these are the three things that I want. The first thing he said was, Tein li yavno v'chachamel. The second thing he said was, that I want you to make sure you spear the family of Hillel Azak and the family of Rabbi Gamliel. And the third thing was, he said, there's a Yid Reb Tzadik who's been fasting, that the Beis HaMikdash shouldn't be destroyed. He's very not well. I need you to send a doctor from Rome, one of your best physicians, so he should come and he should heal Reb Tzadik. But Rabbi Yechim Azak, I said, Tein li yavno v'chachamel. What did he mean? He meant that the Yid and the Chachamim at that time were in Yavno. And he said, I want you to make sure that Yavna, which had a yeshiva at the time, is going to be saved. And we've spoken about this. The Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai was mevater on the Beis HaMikdash, Abisol Zayin Torah, Abit, he should have Yavna v'chachamel. But the point is, Yavna was the place that the Tanan, that lived at the time of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, that's where they lived at the time. That's where the yeshiva was. And says the Yerushalmi, it's an often a Yerushalmi, in two places, that this Baskel took place where? It took place when the Yidden were in Yavna. So we have a tremendous clue that narrows it down. So we have a general idea of what happened. We know where it happened, but we still haven't pinpointed exactly where it happened. So Dr. Reuven Margolis, that Yesh Loimah, it happened at the same time that one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas happened. And that is Masechtas Brachos, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, Masechtas Brachos Daf Chav Ches. So the Gemara is too long for us to go through it inside. But the Gemara says that there was a dispute amongst the Tanaim regarding Davening Ma'ariv, Tfilas Arvis. Is Tfilas Arvis Rishus or is Tfilas Arvis Chayva? And the Gemara says it was a story with a Talmud Echad that appeared in front of Rabbi Yeshua. And he asked Rabbi Yeshua, tell me, Tfilas Arvis Rishus or Chayva? So he told him Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. Then he went to Rabbi Gamliel. This is Rabbi Gamliel, the Yavna. This is Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi. And he turns to Rabbi Gamliel and he tells him, tell me, Tfilas Arvis is Rishus or Tfilas Arvis Chayva? Amaleis, he told him, Chayva. So he said, Chayva? I heard from Rabbi Yeshua, Rishus. Rabbi Gamliel said, really? Rabbi Yeshua says Rishus? He knows I hold Chayva. Why would he see Rishus? So he says, why don't you wait until Rabbi Yeshua and all the Tamid Chachamim enter the Beis Medrash, and I'm going to bring it up, and let's see what happens. So the Gemara says, Nichnasu Bali Treisen, everybody entered, and Rabbi Yeshua was there as well, and Rabbi Gamliel tells the Talmud, stand up, and I want you to ask me the question again. So he says, Tfilas Arvis Rishus or Chayva? Rabbi Gamliel says, Chayva. And then Rabbi Gamliel turns to the audience, and he says, if there's any person here who thinks that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, now would be a good time to say it. And nobody said anything. So Rabbi Gamliel looks at Rabbi Yeshua, he says, Rabbi Yeshua, how about you? What do you hold? You hold Tfilas Arvis as Rishus or Tfilas Arvis as Chayva? Rabbi Yeshua was embarrassed, and through this whole situation emerged that it's true. Rabbi Yeshua had Paskin, what he believed, not like Rabbi Gamliel believed, and that is that Tfilas Arvis is really Rishus. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yeshua was so embarrassed that it bothered all the Talmid HaChachamim that were there, and they decided that something has to be done to Rabbi Gamliel. And the reason was, because this wasn't the first time it happened. The Gemara said it happened once before, and it happened once before that as well. Ad kidei kach nimnu v'gamru, that Rabbi Gamliel is no longer fit to be Nasi. Now, if Rabbi Gamliel is not going to be Nasi, someone else has to be the Nasi. The question is, who should it be? Now, the most worthy candidate was Rabbi Yeshua. The problem was they felt that this is a little too close because Rabbi Yeshua was the one that caused this all to happen. So it's not fair to Rabbi Gamliel to make Rabbi Yeshua the Nasi. So they said, maybe Rabbi Akiva should be. The problem with Rabbi Akiva was he didn't have Yichus. They decided that it's going to be Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. He's the one that should do it. Why didn't they pick Rabbi Eliezer? So we spoke about this because he was Mitamid Beis Shammai. He was Shamuti. Why didn't they pick Rabbi Tarfin? We spoke about that once as well. We have read bites on all of this. But the bottom line is, who did they end up taking? It was Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. The problem was Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, he had a lot going for him. He was Torah, Vigdula, Viyichus, Vimakam Echad. The problem with Rabbi Elazar ben Azari was he was too young. He was only 18 years old. Ma'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu, there was a miracle. He woke up in the morning. He had a long white beard, and that's why he said, Ireni kiven shivim shana. Really, he was only 18 years old, but he looked like he was 7. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azari became the new Nasi. Snez the Gemara, Tan. Oysei ayoyim. That day, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azari became the Nasi, so cool the Shomer HaPesach. They removed the Shomer HaPesach. There was a person, he used to guard the Beis Medrash, and they removed the guard of the Beis Medrash. V'nasam l'shusel tamidim likanes. And they allowed all the tamidim, anyone that wanted to enter the Beis Medrash, they said, you're invited in. Anyone could come here, share. Everyone's invited. What was the chiddush? Oh, Rabbi Gamliel machris vaymer, because Rabbi Gamliel shita was kol talmud shein toichei kabari leikonis lebeis medrash. That any talmud that's not toichei kabari is not allowed to enter the beis medrash. They changed the policy, and as a result, they said anyone that wants to come could come. So the Gemara says, "Ahu yoyim on that day, itoisvu kamasafsal." There were many benches that were added to Beis Medrash. How many? Omer Rabbi Yochanan pligi ba Rabbi Yosef ben Dustoy Rabban. It was machlokes. Chadam one said 400. The other man, the Omer, said 700. The Gemara says, "Rabbi Gamliel had chalish zadas. He had a dream. A gansa ma'isa." The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Tano idius by biyam nishnis." On that day, Masechtas idius was taught. Okay, what's the significance of this? The Gemara continues and says that every single time you find in Shas that there's a certain day being mentioned, and the way the day is being mentioned as boy bayoyim hahu yoyim, it means that day. The Gemara continues. There wasn't one halacha that there was a shaila of what the psak is that wasn't resolved on that day. And the Gemara continues and goes on and on and on. Zokt Rav Reuven Margolis. We have a maisa that we know took place in Yavne. The Gemara says this maisa was a story that had incredible, incredible significance. How much significance? Just reading between the lines of the Gemara, you know, tremendous. Says Rav Reuven Margolis that one of the things the Gemara says happened on that day was that there was no halacha shoyse tluya bebeis medrash shaloi peshua. There was no machloikis that wasn't resolved on that day. He says, what does that mean? What happened to all the machloikis in between Beisham and Beisil? What happened to Beishan all the Beyantif? Beishamai says this, Beisil says that. What happened to Tzara Hasev? What happened to all the machloikis and throughout Shas between Beisham and Beisil? There was no halacha shaloi peshua. Beisham and Beisil were fighting on everything. The Torah was mamish two Torahs. What do you mean there was no halacha? He says, you know what the pshat is? It's pasha to me. Because the Yerushalmi says in Brachas and in Yervamis that where was the baskel that came and resolved halacha kibes hillel? It happened in Yavne. It must have happened on that day. And faket, that's the teeth kind of the Gemara. That is good for what the Gemara means. That lehoisa halacha shayisat tlui bebeis medra shaloi pershua. That there wasn't one halacha shaloi pershua. You know what? Because you know what happened on that day? What happened on that day? The baskel came out. That adds a tremendous layer of significance to that day. And that was when the Machlei Yushar B'Sul was resolved. And that's exactly what the Gemara means. What it says, says, Rav Margolis, when you understand this, you can appreciate Masechtas Idias a little bit better. You know, you open up Masechtas Idias. How does the Masechta begin? Idias literally begins with the word Shammai. Right, Shammai Yomer. It starts with the Machloikis between Shammai and Hill, and then it goes from there to the Machloikis in between Beis Shammai and that hill. And Idias is very, very much Machloikis in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hill. As a matter of fact, in the first parak of Masechtas Idias, the Mishnayos discuss different times that Beis Shammai was Mekel and Beis Hill was Machmer. Right? We know ordinarily Beis Hill was Mekel and Beis Shammai was Machmer. But in Masechtas Idias, you have all the Mikule Beis Hill and the Mikule Beis Shammai and the Mechumre Beis Hill. He says, why is this Masechtas Idias? What does it have to do with Masechtas Idias? Because when was Idias taught Zokta Gemara? It was by Yisayayin. It was on that day. What happened on that day? There was no halacha that was through the base medrash shaloi preshua. But what was the most significant halachas that needed to be explained? The machlokes of Yishayim Besil. Because this was halacha kimaisenu. So we're trying to figure out what's going on. So this needs to be settled. And it was settled on that day. So that day was gepaskin the halacha kimaisenu. So you know what happened? Idias happened. This Besil, that Besil, that Besil, this Besil. Right, you have all the different halachas related to Besil. By the way, Tzara Sarva is an Idias. It's all the Masechtas Idias. And now we have to know when it's a Mikule Beis Shammai and Michumre Beis Hillel, because usually Beis Shammai is the Machmer, Beis Hillel is the Mekel. But now that we resolve the halacha, we have to know that, by the way, don't think this is all part of Idias. This is all part of the testimony that's been given on that day. That there were times that Beis Hillel was Machmer, Beis Shammai was Mekel. And it's important to know it's anomalies, it's a chidushim, but at the same time, sometimes this is the way it is, and we need to know it because it's very, very important for us to understand that the halacha is now going to be like Beis Hillel. He says another Davar Nifla. The Gemara says that up until that day, where Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, there was a Shomer HaPesach. And he would allow certain people to enter, and he wouldn't allow other people to enter. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, they removed the Shomer HaPesach. And they said, anybody that wants to come, even if you're not Toichei Kabari, anyone that's interested in coming to learn, you're all invited to learn. That happened on that day. Why did it happen? It's a pasha you learn. Because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he had a different hashkafa when it came to admissions in a yeshiva. Rabbi Gamliel had his quote-unquote Shomer HaPesach, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't have a Shomer HaPesach. In Rabbi Gamliel's yeshiva, you had to be Toichei Kabar, right? In Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it was more inclusive. Right, that's pasha the way you learn. Oh, but the emes is Zokra Ruvim Rangolis, Yesh Loimar, a lot starker. And that is, there's an Ovis, the Rav Nosson, in the end of Perik Beis. It's Perik Beis Tes. Vehemidu Talmidem Harbe. Beis Shammai says, Al Yeshana Adam, Elo Lemisha Hu Chacham, Ve'anav, Uben Ovis Ve'asher. A person only allowed to teach Torah to someone that's a Chacham, that's an Anav, He's a ben avos. He has yichus and he's a gvir. Beisul oimrim l'chol adam yishana. No, you should teach Torah to everybody. Shahar be poishim hoyu behem b'Yisrael v'neskar v'lutalma Torah. There were many poishim in Klal Yisrael that eventually became, they were neskar v'te Torah v'yotzu mehem tzadikim, chasidim, uksherim. And had the oilam followed Beishamah and not taught them Torah, we would have lost that on those tzadikim, those chasidim, and those ksherim. So Beishamah was very particular about who you could teach Torah to. You can't teach Torah only to a person that's a chacham, he's an anav, he's a ben aves, and he's an asher. Beisilu was more inclusive. Beisilu allowed to teach Torah to everybody. Parenthetically, Rav Reuven Margolis says that with this is in the footnote. The footnotes are the most geschmack. This is in a footnote. He says, with this you could understand, he says, Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is in Mesechtes Psachim. It's in Perek Vav. It's in Halacha Gimel. Sholosh Esrei Shana, Asa Rabbi Akiva, Nichnas Eitzel Rebbe Eliezer, this is written like a Yerushalmi, for 13 years, Rabbi Akiva went to Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Eliezer refused to teach Torah to Rabbi Akiva. It's a Medrash Pliya. We know Rabbi Akiva is a Talmud Muvik of Rebbe Eliezer. Talmud Muvik, Shebe Muvik of Rebbe Eliezer. But for 13 years, Rabbi Eliezer refused to teach Torah to Rabbi Akiva. Why wouldn't he teach Torah to him? Zokar Rav Margolis, Nifla. He says, because Rabbi Eliezer was Shamuti. We know that he was Mi Talmidei Beishamai. He held, like Beishamai in Ovis Rab Nosin, Al Yishana Adam, Elolami, Shu Chacham, V'Onav, Uben Avois, V'Asher. He said Rabbi Akiva tripped up on two of these points. Number one, he wasn't a Ben Avos, he wasn't a Meyuchas. That's the Gemara Brachas. That's why he wasn't considered to be a Nasi, and he also wasn't an Asher. Right? We know he was very, very poor. Now, Shver was a great Asher, but he was not that Anav from him. So number one, he's not a Ben Avos, and number two, he wasn't an Asher. A Chacham and an Anav, yeah. Or a Ben Avos and an Asher Nish. So this is Rabbi Eliezer who's following his Shita, the Shita Beishamai, that you can't teach Torah to somebody like him. So for 13 years, he wouldn't teach him Torah. Now, what happened after 13 years? But for 13 years, maybe he became an Osher, I don't know how he became a Meyuchas, but for 13 years, he didn't teach him Torah, and if he didn't teach him Torah, he says, Dasi Dabshah. But what do you see from here? That Beishamai had a Shita, that what do you do? That when it comes to teaching Torah, you can't just teach to anybody. You have to be a Chacham and Anav ben Avos and Asher. You have to be Toichei Kabaroi. Beis Hillel said no. Like Kol Malamdin, you teach everybody, teach Torah to everybody, because there are many poishim that were taught Torah. They were neskar of Yotzim Tzadikim Chasidim Ukshirim. You know what happened in Brachas Chav Chesam and Aleph? The Baskol happened. The Baskol that the Yerushalmi says happened in Yavna. The Baskol that said Elu veElu Divrelekim Chayim Heim VaAlocha Kibeis Hillel. You see, up until the Baskol, Rabbi Gamliel had the right to pick and choose who he wanted a paskin like. He held like Beishamai, which, by the way, not for now, but there's many, many sources where you find Rabbi Gamliel who mishpachta, he held like Beishamai. So he held like Beishamai, and because he held like Beishamai, so therefore he had a shita. There was a shomer pesach. You have to be toicha gebari. Oh, but it's this given abasko. Now that there's abasko, you can't hold like Beishamai anymore. It's over. It's done. At this point, it was resolved. Even Beishamai, that was asu va'asu. It's over now that there's abasko. Oh, that's what saved Claudius. Oh, now there's abasko. Now there's a Baskol. So now they remove the Shomer HaPesach. It's not a din in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah versus Rabbi Gamliel. It's a din in Beis Hillel versus Beis Shammai. Because this is the day that it was Gepaskin that the Loch is like Beis Hillel. And because this is the day that it was Gepaskin that the Loch is like Beis Hillel, so it's for that reason it was on this day they removed the Shomer HaPesach. Rabbi Reuven Margolis continues. He says there's another Chida Stuma that you can understand once we are able to internalize this. That the Baskol happened in Yavne, not just on any day in Yah, it happened on Brachas Chav Ches. That's when it happened. It happened Ba'oisei Hayoyim. That was the day it happened. The day Rabbi Gamliel was removed from his Asiyas, the day Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi. And that is Gemara in Be'ah. It's a Mishnah in Be'ah. The Mishnah says, Afu, referring to Rabbi Gamliel, Amar Shloish Dvarim Lahakal. He said three kulois. He said, Mechabdim Beis Hamitois, you're allowed to sweep the room that people eat on Yontif. It's Mesachtes Be'ah, we're dealing with Hilchas Yontif. Umanichim Asam Mugmar. You're allowed to take spices like levoina and put it on top of coals, burning coals on Yontif. And by the Leila Seder, you're allowed to eat a gedi makulos. You're allowed to eat a gedi, even though it's makulos. It looks a little like the carbon pesach. There's no chash that it looks like maybe you're bringing kachem machutz. So the Gemara says like this. Is that true? Ein mechabdin beis hamitos b'yontif. You're not allowed to sweep beis hamitos on Yontif. V'shal beis Rabbi Gamliel mechabdin. But in Rabbi Gamliel's house, they used to sweep on Yontif. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik. Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadik said, Pamim harbi nechnasti achar abel beis Rabbi Gamliel. There were many times that I entered I entered the house of Rabbi Gamliel together with my father, and lo yhayu mechabdin beis hamidus biyantiv, and they weren't mechabdin beis hamidus biyantiv. Elo mechabdin oisam erev yantiv. They used to do it erev yantiv. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Gamliel's family were mechabdin, but Rabbi Lazar Tzadik says it's not true. It's not true. I saw it my own eyes. I went with my father many times. I remember visiting Rabbi Gamliel. They weren't mechabdin. Another brayso. Rabbi Gamliel's mishpacha, they were manichin. Blazer Brat Tzadik says it's not true. Pamim harbin nechnasti acher abel beis Rabbi Gamliel and loy hoyu manichin as hamugmer biyantiv. They didn't do it. So Rabbi Gamliel said, which one was it? It happened or did? The Gemara doesn't say. The Gemara just says Rabbi Gamliel did it. Rabbi Blazer Brat Tzadik said, I saw with my own eyes. I was there with my father. I was a little boy. I remember they didn't do it. Rabbi Gamliel did it. Another case. No, I saw with my own eyes. So you know what the pshat is? Because really, this shayla, whether mechabdin beis hamitos ein mechabdin, umanichin es hamugmer ein manichin es hamugmer, is machloikis beis shamay beis hillel. Beis shamay says no. Beis hillel says yeah. You know what happened when Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik was a little boy, and he went to Rabbi Gamliel's house together with his father. It was before the baskal. Rabbi Reuven Margolis proves based on history that would have happened before the baskal. So he said, that was before the baskal. Before the baskal, Rabbi Gamliel was able to pick and choose. You want to go like Beis Shammai, go like Beis Shammai. You want to go like Beis Hillel, go like Beis Hillel. And it can't be Beis Shammai. And that's where we want like Beis Shammai. Oh, but when the Gemara brings a braisa that says, that shall base Rabbi Gamliel mechabdin, or shall base Rabbi Gamliel manichin mugma biyantiv, that was la'achar baskal. And if that was la'achar baskal, he says, that would explain, once there was a baskal, now you had no choice. You had to be mekel. You had to go like Beis Hillel. You can't go connected Beis Hillel once there's a baskal. So once there's a baskal, you can't go connected Beis Hillel. It's at that point they had no choice. And he says, when you understand this, there's a lot of places in Shas where you find steerers. Some saw this way, some saw that way. The teretz is, with this first generation of Tanon, after Bayesheni, they lived in two worlds. They lived in a world of Koidem HaBaskel, and they lived in a world of La'achar HaBaskel. And Koidem HaBaskel, there were two shittas, there were two opinions. There was Bishamai and Bezil. And you want to go like Bishamai, you can go like Bishamai. HaRoitz HaLasik Diver Bishamai Yasa. HaRoitz HaLasik Diver Bezil Yasa. That's all Koidem HaBaskel, like the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Erevin. Oh, but La'achar HaBaskel, now you have no choice anymore. Now you have to go with the Baskel. Nimnu V'gomru. That's it. It's all over. And that's why you find stories where there were steerers, but the emesis is no steerer. We'll mention one more raya. One more thought that Reuven Margolis says. And that's the Gemara that we learned today. It's today's daf. The Gemara says that there was a yid. His name was Rab Doisa ben Horkinus. And while he was alive, he tiru tzaras abas la'achin. And the Chachamim thought that it was him. Turned out it wasn't. It was his younger brother, Yonasan. But they thought he was the one that was matit tzaras abas la'achin. Listen to this Gemara. This was the very beginning of today's daf, which, if we learn a little slower, is really a chidas stuma. But once we understand this, it mamish opens up. Pimei Reb Doisa ben Horkinus etiru tzaras abas la'achin. Vaya adava kasha l'chachamim. It bothered the chachamim. Bepnei shnechachim gadol hay, because it was a big chacham. But what happened was, he was old and he couldn't see well, and as a result, he didn't come to Beis Medrash. What does that have to do with anything? He was old, he didn't come to Beis Medrash, and as a result, so Pasha, what it means is, he didn't come to Beis Medrash, so therefore, they had to go to him, right? That's probably Pasha Pshat. But the end of Kamu Milavi Lebeis Medrash, so as a result, they felt that they had to go tell him something. What were they going to tell him? He held Tzaras Abbas his mutter. What are you going to tell him? Beis Hillel? He knows Beis Hillel. He's old. What's going on here? It sounds like he couldn't come to Beis Medrash. As a result, he's missing out on a piece of information. So let's go tell. What were you going to tell him? You're going to tell him Tzaras Abbas is awesome, but they thought he didn't know that? Machloik B'Shan Beis Hillel is one of the biggest machloikas in ever. So he knows that. What exactly were they going to tell him? He says, you know what happened? What happened was, there were always two shittas. There was Tzaras Erev's mutter, Tzaras Erev's asa. He was mutter, Tzaras Erev. Okay, shittas Beis Shammai. Haroitz n'lasis k'divir Beis Shammai yasa. In fact, this is the raya, that asu v'asu, that they used to go like Beis Shammai. But then there was one day that in Beis Medrash, all of a sudden there was a baskal. And the baskal came out and the baskal said, Eilu v'eilu divir l'kim chayin mein v'alochik Beis Hillel. Which means it's all over. You don't have the option anymore to go like Beis Shammai. Now you're muchrich. Now you're mushba v'oimit from the baskal. Now you have to go like Beis Hillel. The problem was Reb Doisa ben Horkinus, who's one of the greisim atirim of Tzaras Erva, he had not been in Beis Medrash. You know why? because it was Einav Kamu Melav the Beis Medrash. It was very difficult for him to come. So they said, let's go to him and let's tell him. Because he doesn't know. What were they telling him? They're telling him, Nochamu, they're going to handle the sugi. He learned Yevamos already a bunch of times. They know all the raid. The problem is, he doesn't know there's a Baskel. Because he wasn't a Beis Medrash. So how was he supposed to know there was a Baskel? So they decided, let's go and let's notify him. And so Dr. Reuven goes, if you're not sure this is the Pshat, if you're not sure this is the Pshat, we learned in yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, Tezvav Amid Beis. The Gemara said, Shalus Rabbi Yeshua. They asked Rabbi Yeshua, Tzaras Abbas Mahu. What's the halacha Tzaras Abbas? Amalahem Machayz B'Sham Bishil. He said, okay, Valacha Gdivay Me. Amalahem, so he said, Mibnei Mate Machnisim Roshi, Bein Shnei Harim Gedoylin, Bein Shnei Machloikis Gedoylis, Bein Bein Shammai, Bein Bein Silo. Mishyar and Yishem Yerutsa Gulgul. I'm not getting involved in this Machloikis. The next Gemara, this is the last Gemara of Tezvav Daf Yoyimi. The first Gemara in Tezayin, they Rabbi Yeshua heard there's a Yid Rabbi Doisim Ben Horkinis, and he's matted Tzaras Abbas. He said, what? I'm going. Come. And he takes Rabbi Elazar Ben Azari, he takes Rabbi Akiva. Let's go tell him. In yesterday's daf, he didn't want to opine. He said, well, what are you mixing me in? Right? A politician's answer. He said, I'm not getting involved. Shnei Harim Gedoylim. And now all of a sudden, he's mamish leading the way. He's knocking on Rabbi Doisim and Horkinus' door. They're mamish, they're trying to circle and literally make sure that Rabbi Yonasim and Horkinus can't get out so they can let him know that Tzaras Erev is Aser. Yesterday, he didn't want to paskin. Now, all of a sudden, today, he's going to Rabbi Doisim and Horkinus. The Teretz says, well, yesterday was Koidim Abaskol. Now, it's La'achar Abaskol. And that's exactly what he was coming to tell him. If I care, Rabbi Shu was coming to say, I'll be honest with you, I didn't either want to get involved in this Shiloh. Bein Shnei Harim Gedoylim. I'm telling you, Nimnu V'gomer, there was a Baskol. Now, we've spoken in the past about Rabbi Yeshua, who holds Eimashkicham Abaskol. Not for now. But the bottom line is that's Rabbi Yeshua coming all of a sudden now, and he's saying it. And he says, by the way, if you really want a fact, really have an exclamation mark? This Mishnah, Machayim Shaim Bissil, regarding Tzaras Erev, is a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Masech Tzedias. So you see clear, mafurish, that this Machloikis was resolved on that day. It's called, it's often a Mishnah, because Idias was Oysa Ayoyim Nishnah, and you see it's mafurish over this, that's clearly when this all happened. But the bottom line is, it opens up so many different Gemaras when we can appreciate, we can put a timeline, we can literally put a name to the face in terms of when exactly this happened. When did the Baskel happen? It happened in Yavne. That's an often a Yerushalmi. We're in Yavne, Yesh Loimer Brachas Chavches, and it opens up Brachas Chavches. It explains what it means that there was no halacha that was tluya shalein asparish. It explains why they removed the Shomer HaPesach. It explains the Gemara's in Be'ech HaBeis, the Gemara here in Yevamos Tezayin. And Afazoy Vait, that Reuven Margolis, in one of his footnotes says, when he's talking about this thing, this whole Indian, he says that it's not rachuk to say that the Gemara says in Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, that there were 3 years that the Talmid of Sham and Sol argued, Halalu Aimer Halacha Kimoisenu, Halalu Aimer Halacha Kimoisenu, until the Baskel came out. So he says, it's very, very Yitachin, that those 3 years were the 3 years that the Yidden were in Yavna. How long were the Yidden in Yavna? So Rabbi Magol says, lean nearer, that it was 3 years. And those were the 3 years. And the 3 years happened then, and this sort of was the culmination of 3 years of raging back and forth between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But either way, that's the rest of the story. But just as a postscript to this raid, and that is, what emerges is a whole new appreciation, for the Baskel, and a whole new appreciation for the Gemara and Brachis, Daf Chavches, where you see Klal Yisrael was in a Sakana Gedoyla. The Lashon of the Mesilas Yesharim, that the Machlokes B'Shamayim Beis Hillel was an Inyan Kaved LiYisrael. It was a very, very, very difficult time. And then it was resolved with the Baskel that the Gemara talks about in Erevin Yud Gimel, which we've now placed, took place in Mesechtes Brachis, Daf Chav Ches Amar Aleph. So just one postscript, and that is, Tadonochin Gemara. There's a Gemara in Mesechtes Shabbos. The Gemara is on Daf Kuflam et Chesam et Beis. The Gemara says, "Kishenichnus Rabbi Seinu leKerem beYavna." When the Yidden entered the Kerem in Yavna, Amru they said, "I see the Torah shetashtachet miYisrael." This is going to be a day that Torah is going to be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shenemar it's a pasuk. It says, "Hine yomim bam neum Hashem leKim veHishlachti Rav baAretz leRav laLechem veLoitzamal laMayim kiim leShmoyes divrei Hashem." There's going to be a day where there's going to be a hunger, but it's not going to be a hunger for bread. It's not going to be a thirst for water. But the hunger and the thirst is going to be kiim l'shmoyas divrei Hashem. And Chazal understood from this pasuk, they understood from this nevuah of Amos, that what this means is there's going to be a day where there'll be no Torah, where it's literally going to be yomim bam ne'um Hashem. It's going to be a time where Torah is going to be forgotten. What triggered this? Happened in Yavna. Why in Yavne? So Pasha, you learn that the reason it happened in Yavne is because Yavne was right after the Churban, and the Pesach Mikdash was just destroyed, and it was so difficult for the Yidden. Al derech malka v'sareh bagoyim in Torah, and as a result, there was a hergish that asli the Torah shatashtakech miYisrael. But I think we have a little bit of a neifach. We understand it on a little bit of a deeper level. Because even in the Beis Medrash alone, what was happening was is the Torah was being divided into two Torahs. And like the Ramchal says again, it was an inyan kaved liYisrael. This was a very, very challenging time. Because what was at risk? That chas v'chalila, the Torah would become two Torahs. And if the Torah would become two Torahs, this is Torah at the shtakech miYisrael on the highest level. And this is something that they were so, so worried about. We're in Yavne, because this is where it happened. This was all taking place in Yavne. And it gives us a little bit of a deeper appreciation why Kishenichnas Rabbi Seinu Lekaren B'Yavne, why this was a hergish. Yidden are walking around Yavne with mamish heavy hearts, inyan kaved liYisrael, pun intended, because they understand that everything going on, both politically, in terms of what's happening in the world, and even vas tutzach and beis medrash, the Torah is becoming two Torahs. And what's going to be? How's Torah going to survive? You know, it's interesting. The Gemara says at the very, very end, Tanya, Reb Shimon ben Yechayim said, Chas v'sholem shetashtakach Torah miYisrael. He heard this whole braise, Chas v'sholem. You think Torah is going to be forgotten? There's no way Torah is going to be forgotten. Shenema, because the pasuk says, Ki loisi shachach mi pizara. Reb Shimon ben Yechayim said, Torah will never be forgotten. Ki loisi shachach mi pizara. I don't know when Reb Shimon ben Yechayim said this, but I know it happened later in his life. You know how we know what happened later in his life? Because we have a Messiah that wherever it says Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, as opposed to Stam Reb Shimon, it means it's after the 13 years that Reb Shimon was in the Ma'ara. That means this Gemara happened later in life. Later, an older Reb Shimon, a Reb Shimon that's the Gadol Adar, a Reb Shimon that at that point had been Megala, all the Seudas of Kabbalah, that's the Reb Shimon that said that I know there was a Messiah, I know as in Yavne Fleit Menzog, and I see the Torah Shatashtakach miYisrael, Chas v'sholem Shatashtakach Torah miYisrael, Shenemar ki loisi shachach miPizara. It's never going to be forgotten. This was something that Reb Shimon Bar Yochai said that he was older. But I don't think it's a coincidence that if you go back to that Gemara, Masechtas Brachos Daf Chaf Ches, the Gemara that began with the Talmud that asked Rabbi Yeshua a Shaila, the Shaila was Tfilas Arvis, Rishus HaChayva, and Rabbi Yeshua said Rishus, and then he asked Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel said Chayva, and then one thing led to another until eventually Rabbi Gamliel was removed from his Nasius, until eventually Rabbi Lozim and Azariah became the Nasi, until eventually there was a Baskel that said, Elu ve'elu divrei kim chayimei, obav aloch kibes nils, at the end of the whole Gemara. The Gemara says, tell me, you know, there's one question I've been waiting to ask the entire sugya. After all this drama, who was that Talmud? Who is the Talmud that set all these events into motion? Who is the one that asked the question? Tfilas Arvis Rishus HaChayva. It's an interesting question, but the Gemara asks the question. It's not a fun fact. Feistois, it's wichtig. And the Gemara answers the question. You know who it was? It was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who years later would understand in his heart that it's not possible that Torah could be forgotten. Chas v'sholem shetashtakach Torah miYisrael. A young Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. A Reb Shimon Bar Yochai was not even mentioned as Reb Shimon at the time. He's just the Talmud at that point. But Reb Shimon Bar Yochai himself was the one that asked the question. And through that question, until today's raid, he's the one that caused Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to become the Nasi, which we know was significant, but we had to be there because it's just hard to appreciate what the significance was. Now we have a little bit of an oimik on what the significance was. It saved Klal Yisrael. It saved the Torah. This matzav of sakana that was happening at that time, that the Ramchal talks about in Perikov, you have to see the Ramchal inside to fully grasp the depth. That's why we keep on going back to it. Of what was going on. It was saved by this Baskel. And this Baskel who came about because a Talmud asked the question. And who was the Talmud that asked the question? The Talmud was Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. You know, the Svar Makdoshim say that ki loisi shachach mi pi zaroi, those words, ki loisi shachach mi pi zaroi, is soifei tevis yochai. It's because Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is the one that said it. He's the one that said, chas v'sholem shetashtakach Torah miYisrael. Shenemar ki loisi shachach mi pi zaroi. And it's merumis in his name. Reb Shimon Bar Yochai is soifei tevis ki loisi shachach mi pi zaroi. But the MS is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's legacy in Ki Loisi Shachach Mipizaroi is not just his memra in Shabbos Kuf Lamed Ches on the days, but it was a question, an innocent question that he asked as a Talmud in Masechtas Brachos Daf Chav Zayin on the days, which takes us into Masechtas Brachos Daf Chav Ches. It was a question that would assure ki lo yisi shachach mi pizarei. It was a question that was asked at a time where the Yidden held asid ha-teiru shetishtachach mi Yisrael, where there was a rav, but not latmayim, not lo lechem. It was l'shmayas divrei Hashem. It was scary, scary, scary times. But at the same time, it was saved. And who was it saved through? It was saved through the Heilige Tana, Rav Shimon bar Yochai.